The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Frank Morano with news guy Al Gattulo and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
We got Cthulhu. This is Afternoon Delight.
Right.
Who sings?
This is from the band. Hang on, I gotta.
2000s? This is earlier than.
No. This is from the 70s.
I know.
This is Starland Vocal Band.
Okay.
But this is from July of 1976. This was in the movie Anchorman, for those of you who don't know.
Okay. Now, July 1976. What stands out in my mind about July of 1976, living in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. was walking down to Shore Road, and it was Opsale. It was the bicentennial.
Okay.
It was probably the greatest thing Jimmy Carter ever did, was all these huge, tall ships floating through underneath the Verrazano Bridge, heading towards the Statue of Liberty, which is all of our ancestors from Europe. That's how they got here. So That's what I think about in July 1976.
I think I remember July 1976. I know it was the bicentennial, but they had a big party on Staten Island for it. Something, I seem to recall going down to Midland Beach or maybe South Beach for some big thing. And it was one of the last years I think they held the San Gennaro Feast on Staten Island, either 76 or 77.
All right.
Like,
I mean,
before they moved it.
They used to have huge fireworks displays.
Right.
All around the Statue of Liberty back then.
But I remember we ran around trying to get the bicentennial quarters that they minted and put out for that
Al Gattulo.
Yeah.
So that is Al Gattulo, and all of you regular Piscopo listeners are used to hearing Al Gattulo, although he was sick yesterday, wasn't he?
No, I was not sick.
Oh, I thought you were sick.
It's fine.
Okay.
I chose not to work with a certain host, and I took the day off.
Okay. So it's 7:07 in the morning here in New York City. We're right down on by Wall Street. We're on right off of Wall Street on Broadway.
Leading the witness, Counselor.
I am leading the witness. I apologize. I withdraw the question, Your Honor. My name is Arthur Idala. I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer in my heart and my soul. You know, I realized that, actually. I worked at Fox News for 12 years, and I was their on-air legal analyst. And it was a job that I really, really enjoyed. It was the best part-time job you could ever imagine, really. And then the truth, and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, is a lawsuit was brought against Roger Ailes, who was the president of the company and was basically the most powerful man in media in the entire country. And I was very, very fortunate that he called me to be his lawyer. Mm-hmm. I was flattered because, I mean, let's face it, Roger Ailes could have had any lawyer on the planet. And he chose me, and I helped him out, and they showed him the door with a boatload of money because it was just his time to leave the channel. And coincidentally, my contract was up at that time, and I left the channel with him. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, you got to be so bummed out that you're not on television anymore. And, you know, I miss the people who I used to hang out with in the studio, right. The makeup people and all of that stuff. And I do miss kind of telling the viewers, summarizing complex legal topics in 3 minutes that they would give you.
Right.
But I wasn't devastated, Al. I mean, if I couldn't be a lawyer, I'd be devastated. Because as a lawyer, I get to help a lot of people.
Sure.
But most of the people who come into my office whatever the issue is that they're coming into my office with, typically for them, it's the most important thing in their life.
Right.
They're buying a house. It's all their money that they're putting on the down payment. Not that I do that, but my partner and wife, Marianne, does that. Or they're doing their will, and they want to make sure that their family is taken care of.
Right.
Or, obviously, they've been arrested. And, you know, so these are, and I really do enjoy helping people in their time of need. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the bottom line.
But speaking of Fox, your good friend, Shepard Smith,
mm-hmm.
Left the network a couple of weeks ago.
If I'm lucky, I'll go for a drink with him.
Of his own accord, his contract. I think he still had he still had a year or two left on his contract.
Yep.
And decided to walk away. Now, I'll make no bones about it. Huge Shepard Smith fan. I worked with Shepard a little bit when I worked over at Fox News Radio. Great guy. Always was very, very pleasant, nice to everybody. Never had an issue. I know some people have an issue with Shepard Smith and the way he presented the news or wasn't towing the party line of Fox News, you know, however it is. How did you feel about him? Now, I know you didn't have really any advanced knowledge of him walking away.
Oh, I had 100% advanced knowledge.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I negotiated the whole deal.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I knew every... Yes, I was very, very, very involved. He's my friend. He is a client. By far, he's my friend first.
Did he decide to leave because he didn't like the direction of the way the network was going?
Look, he was there for 23 years.
Right.
I mean,
right.
What's the longest you've ever been in one place? Seriously.
Here. January will be 10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Okay, yeah. Right, because you were here with Curtis?
With Curtis, yeah.
Okay. Certain things just get long in the tooth, you know? Right. I mean, it's just, it's time. And, you know, Shep, I'm not telling stories out of school. He wants to be a newsman. I mean, that's really what he wants to do. He just wants to tell the news. And
The news and not be compelled to give his opinion.
And not be compelled to give his opinion right. And not compelled to tell the news in a way that he feels he's riding a ship if the ship is leaning in one way. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to lean a little further than the other. I think he wants to find a place where he could just come on and truth. That was the word over the days that we worked on this, his exit, truth. If there's one word he loves, it's truth. He's right. Like, I just want to tell the truth. I want it to be the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth. Now, a lot of people debate what's true and what's not true, and that's what this whole impeachment situation is going to be about. And, right. And basically, it's what every trial is about. It's what Alan Dershowitz is coming on at 7:40 to talk about,
right.
Is what's the truth. So Shep is going to take some well-deserved time off. I mean, people don't realize, you do, Al, obviously, because you're in the industry. You know, every Sunday morning when you're doing football or every Sunday when you do things that you miss, events that you don't go to. I mean, Shep covered, who was the Oklahoma City bombing? Timothy McAuliffe.
Right.
McAuliffe.
Yes. Right? Timothy McAuliffe.
Yes, I'm making a joke about
it. I know you are.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So I was
sick yesterday.
Sorry.
There was a lottery for the journalist to actually watch the execution,
mm-hmm.
with him getting the needle and then the report on it. I think they only let in, whatever, 8 people, 10 people, something like that. And this is the very, very beginning of Fox News.
Oh, sure.
And Shep, quote unquote, won the lottery. It sounds weird to watch this. And he had to miss his sister's wedding.
Oh, wow.
He misses, like, so, I mean, there have been a lot of things that he's missed and he hasn't gone to. I remember I got sworn in as the president of the Brooklyn Bar Association,
right.
And I think maybe he was covering the royal wedding in England, and he couldn't do that. He couldn't come, and he was really upset. He really was. He was like, dude, I really want to be there. I'm upset about this. So he's taking a little break, and my guess is, and this I don't know anything about, that he's going to find somewhere else. I mean,
somebody will hire him. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's 55. He's got a lifetime ahead of
him.
But
now he had a year and a half left on his contract. Does he have? He does not have to sit out for a year and a half, or he has there's a moratorium for a certain amount of time. And
exactly.
Then,
all of that is confidential, so right. I can't really talk about it. But you know, you'll see Shep sooner than later, and I'll just say, everyone involved handled this very professionally.
Oh, absolutely.
And very appropriately. The people at Fox were great, and I'd like to say myself and Shep's agent were great. And it worked out. And the funny part was, and I will tell a story out of school, one of the most important thing to Shepard was he wanted he wanted to break the news of him leaving.
Right, right.
He's the breaking news anchor.
Yeah, and that was the surprise when he said he was leaving.
Yeah, and I mean, look, maybe 10 people on the planet Earth knew about it when the words came out of his mouth, literally. And that's what he wanted to do. He just wanted it to be, he didn't want it to leak, and he wanted to break the news, and he did. And it was great. I mean, I was melancholy or upset. I mean, I knew it was coming. I poured myself a big glass of scotch, and I was like, okay, it's an end of an era, because he's been there from day one. And as Hannity tweeted out, there's no one better at breaking news than Shep.
I have been, and
he sent me a really beautiful text right before he went off the air saying, you know, some of my best moments on the air. You were sitting right next to me as you are today, you know, by my side.
Right.
I was on with him with the Boston bomber, the marathon bomber. I took so many verdicts with him. The Michael Jackson verdict I took with him, the Sandusky verdict, the coach of
Penn State
verdict, more than I could even remember. And he's really the best when the teleprompter is black.
Yeah.
When there's no words on the screen and nobody knows what the heck is going on, he is fantastic.
People forget about that. When you have a breaking news story, you're scrambling to find the truth, as Shepard has said, but you're scrambling to find facts that you can corroborate and verify, and you try not to oversell something or, you know, do something which could get somebody into trouble if you don't verify those facts. And so a lot of times during breaking news, you get frustrated, or people get frustrated with the news because they're repeating the same thing over and over again. They're doing that because they don't have new facts that they can verify, and to just throw those out there is irresponsible. And a lot of times you see, not only on Fox, but on CNN and even some of the networks, they're rushing to be first instead of trying to get it right. And Shepard, to his credit, would always say, look, we're not going to be the first person out there with this, but we're going to get it right. And we're going to tell you why it's going on in the same text of here's the facts and what we know and why it means something, you know, in response to those facts.
I remember the first breaking news story I did with him was the Michael Jackson verdict. And just for the listeners to know how TV works, people are in a booth behind the on-air personality that you see, and they're usually directing the whole show. What I was very surprised about, and this is 15 years ago, it's 2000, it'll be 15 years this, I think, April, May, that the verdict came in Michael Jackson's case. When I came back into the studio to take the verdict, Shep was directing the whole show. He was like, okay, we're going to start off with an A shot of Laura Ingle at the courthouse. Then I want to cut over to B. I want to go to Arthur, and I want to do legal analysis. Right. Then I want to run B-roll about Michael walking into with his family. Like, he was running the whole... Everything we were going to see, he was directing.
Well, that's why he was the managing editor.
Right.
So he's in control of everything.
He controlled the whole thing. Right. And what I really learned, Al, was from him was when to shut up. You know, he would just say, let's listen. And he would, you know, give the sign to everyone, just shut up. And you would just listen to the natural sound, the ambient sound, even if it was just Michael Jackson and his family walking to the courthouse and people shouting questions. And that's... He would bring people, as the viewer, as close as he could to being at the scene.
The tendency is to over-talk it.
Exactly.
And ruin the moment. It's especially true in sports. A lot of times, the classic sports broadcasters know when to keep their mouth shut when something happens.
Absolutely.
The Jack Bucks of the world, the Vin Scullies, they win a championship, keep your mouth closed. Let the roar of the crowd happen. You don't need to oversell. We know what happened. We're seeing it on the field. Experience it as if you were there as a fan. A lot of guys miss that. A lot of guys miss that point.
And, you know, I know Shep took some heat from the Fox viewers, but he will be missed on
that
channel.
But he gave it to you fair and balanced, which is what the network is supposed to be.
Which is what Roger Ailes had told him. That's, you know, from day one, that's what they wanted to be.
Timothy McVeigh was the...
Timothy McVeigh, thank you. And they're going to miss him, you know, and I hope there's no breaking news anytime soon, but the next time there's that big... I mean, look, his coverage of Hurricane Katrina... It was spectacular. Amazing. I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, but he knew the ins and outs of that area because he's from there, so he knew all of it, and that was fantastic.
But, you know, he will be missed. Yeah. Speaking of being missed, we don't want to miss the traffic.
No,
right?
We don't.
Okay, so we're going to go to Brandy Scott for traffic here at AM 970 The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Good morning. Rough ride in New Jersey. Turnpike heading southbound. We still have all lanes out between interchanges 14 and 13A. Earlier overturned dump truck in the truck lanes. They still have some cleanup going on. You're being diverted into the car lanes there. Going to need some extra time getting across the Verrazano on both decks heading into Brooklyn. This is because of a stalled truck right after Fort Hamilton Parkway, taking out at least one lane there. BQE on the eastbound side, very heavy, moving between the Battery Tunnel and the Brooklyn Bridge. Then you're looking good through to the Kosciuszko Bridge. Inbound at your Hudson River crossing, upstairs at the George 20 to 25, lower will cost you 10 to 15. Inbound Lincoln and Holland 15 to 20 each, alternate side in effect today. This report is sponsored by Panera Bread. At Panera, get breakfast that's fast, not fast food. Try a new Chipotle chicken, scrambled egg, and avocado breakfast wrap and pair it with a premium freshly ground brewed coffee. All ready to go with the push of a button. Panera, food as it should be. Now you know how not to go. I'm Brandi Scott on AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Walgreens. Hello, Saver. Get Medicare Part D copays for as low as $0 when you choose a plan with Walgreens as your preferred pharmacy. $0 copay on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as your preferred pharmacy.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Google's parent company Alphabet shares are lower this morning after it reported a mixed quarter. It's seeing steady growth in online advertising sales, but it had to spend more on the company. Google's self-driving unit, Waymo, is now offering some fully automated robo-taxi rides in Phoenix. The service is only available to a few hundred people. The trips are rider-only. Vaping company Juul Labs is planning to cut 500 jobs by the end of the year. Its chief executive, Casey Crosthwaite, says the business is undergoing a necessary reset. Juul is the subject of several federal investigations. The Dow Jones Industrials added 132 yesterday, the NASDAQ added 82, and the S&P was up 16 to a record. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola, invested in you.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head, just over $30,000. That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. Optima Tax Relief. They're the best in the business.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Only days left before we join you at 230 Park Avenue at 46th Street. That's Bobby Vans for the next Dining Out Dialogues. Myself, Don Trump Jr., Kim Guilfoyle, A.J. Katzenmatidis, and many more. 212-867-5490 for reservations.
Buy one, get one free offer today for MyPillows at MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Order now. Use promo code AM970.
I truly believe America is the greatest nation on earth. Maybe that's why I wouldn't make a good Democrat presidential candidate, because they seem to hate America. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, and our over 2 million members also believes in the greatness of America. The AARP wants you to believe they're a nonpartisan organization. You have to understand something. If you belong to the AARP because you're over 50 and you thought they were the only game in town, listen to this. AARP backed Obamacare. AARP backs strict gun control. AMAC fought against all of these things. AMAC fought hard to block the federal funding on abortion and won. I'm urging you to join me and join AMAC today. You'll get all the same benefits and discounts that the AARP offers, but your membership will get you more than just discounts. You've got an organization fighting for your values. Go to GallagherForAMAC.com. Your AMAC senior card is just $16. GallagherForAMAC.com or call 855-624-6229. 855-624-6229 today.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
While I'm on the Perillo Piscopo tour in Italy, I wanted to tell you why you should choose Perillo to plan that once-in-a-lifetime trip to Italy, as we all did. Perillo Tours have been operating for 75 continuous years. Steve Perillo represents the third generation of America's favorite travel company to Italy. Perillo only contracts for first-class and deluxe hotels, centrally located for ease of travel. Each hotel is personally inspected by Steve Perillo himself for comfort and convenience. Imagine walking out of your hotel. You're right on the Spanish Steps, right? Or a minute from Venice's iconic St. Mark's Square, or right in the center of the historic district of Florence. Comfort and convenience, that is the hallmark of a Perillo tour. Taking all the stress out of traveling, call for your new Perillo 2020 Italy brochure at 888-PERILLO, 888-PERILLO, P-E-R-I-L-L-O, or visit PerilloTours.com or your travel agent. Don't forget Perillo's Hawaiian vacations at all deluxe oceanfront Hyatt hotels. Perfect for honeymoons, everything included at one low price. Everyone knows someone who's enjoyed a Perillo tour. Now it's your turn. Perillo Tours.
Dennis Prager, coming up at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Portions of this show sponsored by Hudson Honda.
What a great song. Oh, you know this?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to stump you.
Don't give us
Don't give up on us, baby.
Oh, I love this. Imagine me and my little sister Lori in the 70s again.
Right.
The
future isn't just one night.
This used to be on like WABC AM radio.
That's right. That's right.
Now who sings this one?
David Soul, one
oh,
half
yeah.
of Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch, that's right. I love Starsky and Hutch. I was a Starsky guy, but
I was a Huggy Bear guy.
Gotta love Huggy.
We're still worth one.
Wow.
You wanted one-hit wonders.
No, that's a great one. So, speaking of, and this guy was not a one-hit wonder, but a very important member of the New York City community passed away at the age of 80. James Boyle, but we called him Jimmy Boyle. He was the president of the Firefighters Union. Mm-hmm. And he worked in the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office with Joe Hines, the Brooklyn DA, who was the former fire commissioner before he was the Brooklyn DA. And I know Jimmy Boyle, and he was like just one of those really super nice guys. And on September 11th, he was working at the Brooklyn DA's office. And when the planes hit the tower, he ran from the Brooklyn DA's office right over the Brooklyn Bridge to downtown
Ground Zero
as the North Tower fell. He got a little beat up himself, but he survived. His other son, who was a police officer, was on site and got beat up himself, and he survived, but he lost his son. His son was a firefighter, followed in his dad's footsteps, was on, I believe, the 41st floor, helping people get down. He did get down himself to the lobby. And then, like, his dad was right there as the tower collapsed and his son got killed in the lobby.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy spent 4 months looking for his son. I believe they found his turnout jacket. I don't know if they ever found any of his actual remains.
Oh,
but he was a great, great New Yorker. He did so much for the New York City firefighters. He did so much for the New York City community. And he will be missed. So a big shout out to Jimmy Boyle and his family. Thank you, Jimmy, for all you did for New York City. And for the Firefighters Union and for the firefighters and for all of the citizens and to your family for giving the ultimate sacrifice of your son. A quick shout out to my buddy, what's your name again? Steve Cannon. My boy Cannon, who's started off as a sergeant in AP4 at 120 Skimmerhorn Street. And now he's a big shot in the world. He's such a big shot that I can't even talk about what a big shot he is or where he's a big shot. I'll tell you off the air. Al.
Okay.
Before we go to Charlie Finch, I just want to give you all the number. 877-970-2999. 877-970-2999. This is Arthur Idala filling in for the great Joe Piscopo. Who I believe is on his way back from Italy to America, who will be here, as Al said, like
tomorrow morning,
shot out of a cannon.
Yep.
Murano probably hungover and shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
But it'll be great to have the whole team back. Debbie will be back. Debbie was fantastic.
That's good.
What a sport. What a trooper. So much fun.
Nice.
She really powered through because she didn't sleep on the airplane going from America to Italy.
Why?
She said she couldn't sleep. She said she slept 20 minutes.
Ugh.
I kept her up. I kept her going, and we really, really, really had a wonderful time. So I believe Charlie Finch is on the line, and yes, he's a regular here on Piscopo in the Morning. Mr. Finch, this is Arthur Idala filling in for the great Joe Piscopo. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, guys. First and foremost, safe travels to Joe and all the Pisco Pops and Pisco Pets on this wonderful tour. I was last in Rome in 74, and I went to the Vatican, which has the largest pornography collection in the world, bigger than Hideki Matsui's, because they confiscated all that stuff during the Inquisition. And I showed my academic credentials and asked to see it, but was turned down. Now, Arthur, in 1976, when Gerald Ford, not Jimmy Carter, was president during the Tall Ships,
you're right,
a woman named Marge Tabankin created the Starland Vocal Band, which recorded the number one hit, Afternoon Delight. Did you ever know Marge Tabankin, Arthur?
I did not.
She became, based on that hit, Barbara Streisand's consigliere and the most powerful woman in Hollywood, doling out money to Nancy Pelosi and all these other candidates. I've been listening to Barbara's Broadway album, recorded in 1985, which is absolute perfection. She may hate Trump, but as Rebecca in Brooklyn knows, she has the voice of an angel. She does Sondheim and Frank Lesser and Rodgers and Hammerstein better than anyone. And maybe I'll cue up Leo Sayer. Onward and forward.
All right. Thank you, Professor Finch. All right. Listen, he did correct me. It was Gerald Ford. It was not Jimmy Carter. Listen, I am fallible, I guess would be the appropriate word. So before we disappear, I definitely need everybody to
disappear.
Understand.
Where are we going?
Well, you know,
don't
you have to do the news in a couple?
Yeah,
of minutes?
In a couple of minutes.
So just along the lines of the news, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, V-I-N-D-M-A-N, mm-hmm. of the Army. He's the top Ukraine expert on the National Security Council. He is going to testify, and he's basically going to say that he was on the call between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. And he was so uncomfortable with what our president was saying that he reported that to his higher-ups. And he did so on more than one occasion because he thought it was wrong to have our president tell the leader of a foreign country, even though it was his own country, because Vindman is from Ukraine,
right,
that we're not giving you the money that Congress has voted. I believe it was $391 million. Mm-hmm. We're not giving you that until you agree to investigate Biden and the company that Biden's son was working for at the time.
Right.
And this lieutenant colonel of the Army, so he's not like some kid, right?
He's been around.
He's an Iraq war veteran. He was so put off by that, and he says, as a patriot more than anything else, that he felt a responsibility to go and report it. And okay. He did report it.
Right.
And now he's going to be the first White House official who's going to come in and testify. He cannot, as an active military member, he can't just blow off a congressional subpoena the way a civilian can.
Right.
And this could be a game changer. Is it enough to remove a president? No. I don't think so. But it's probably enough to have an impeachment go through when right. you have... Because he's now, I think, the third person...
Right. But let's assume they go through the impeachment process, right? And the House of Representatives decides to impeach the president. But what if the Senate says, you know what? We don't buy it. We're not going to, whatever.
Well, they need two-thirds of the
right,
Senate.
Or they take a vote, and they don't get the two-thirds.
That's what happened with Clinton.
Right. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing happens. We've stalled and obfuscated and delayed a person's presidency based on, in my feeling, a certain sector of the government and certain people that don't want to see this guy president because he's not one of them. He's not a politician. Could he have done some things wrong here? Possibly. Let's let the investigation, you know, pan out and see what happens in full transparency. If he did nothing wrong, we're going to find that out in the course of the investigation. But I kind of think like, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I kind of think that there are certain people in the government who are kind of funneling this investigation to try and get it. Let's figure out a way to get this guy out of office.
Right.
Which is next year, from next month.
I think anybody who's being objective would have to agree with what you just said, except where, you know, they're chasing the smoke, but then does it lead to fire or was it just smoke? And now with this particular witness, who seems to be like a pretty credible individual, piling on top of other credible individuals, it seems like there may be fire attributed to the smoke. And do I think it would be enough to have 2/3 of the Senate say that this president needs to leave office? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, Al, look what we did with Clinton.
Right.
It was a lot less than this. It had nothing to do with national security. It had nothing to do with millions
Correct.
Of dollars. It had to do with him and having a personal affair with a woman,
right.
which, what, talking about going to Italy, when I was going to Italy during that period of time, they're like, you're impeaching your president because he had an extramarital affair?
Yeah.
They're like, what are you, nuts?
Right.
They're like, what do you think presidents right. do? What do you, all your presidents right. did it, Kennedy and this one and that one. All our presidents do it, Berlusconi in Italy, so... Right. I don't know. We'll address more of that, God willing, when we come back. We're going to have Professor Alan Dershowitz joining us, and we're going to talk about his new book, which you can buy on Amazon. So why don't you stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
56 degrees at 736. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. In an unfortunate twist of nature, the Jersey Shore facing coastal flooding today, the 7th anniversary of Superstorm Sandy. The National Weather Service says the coastal flood advisory that was in effect last night for Monmouth and Ocean counties will become a coastal flood watch by this morning and stay through the afternoon. As a result, flooding as high as 2 feet over ground level may occur during high tide, washing out roads and possibly causing damage to vehicles and vulnerable structures. There are new calls from local lawmakers to help prevent terror attacks. New Jersey Congressman Josh Gottheimer called for the creation of a database similar to a no-fly list where rental truck companies would report suspicious behavior by any customer. The bill is called the Darren Drake Act, after Darren Drake of Milford, New Jersey. Drake was run down and killed 2 years ago in Tribeca by an alleged terrorist in a rental truck. The driver, Saifullo Saipayoff, has pleaded not guilty and could still face the death penalty when his trial starts early next year. In sports, Knicks beat the Bulls 105-98 at MSG for their first win of the season. Defensive lineman Leonard Williams traded from the Jets to the Giants. Gangrene gets a third-round draft pick next year, a fifth-round pick in 2021. The Yankees fired pitching coach Larry Rothschild, who had been with the Bombers for 8 years. And in Monday Night Football, Steelers spotting the Dolphins the first 14 points before scoring the next 27 in a 27-14 rout in Pittsburgh. Sports is brought to you by Modell's Sporting Goods Stores. You gotta go to Moe's. Stuck in traffic? Brandy Scott's got the answer.
Been a rough morning on the roads in New Jersey. 80 locals just west of the 95 split heading westbound. Two lanes out with a crash after Teaneck Road. 95 on the northbound side. That is jammed right now from Bergen Turnpike. As a result, express lanes also solid getting into that area. Staten Island Expressway heading eastbound by Clove Road. Crash takes out two lanes. You are crawling there from Victory Boulevard. Verrazano on the inbound side. You've got a packed ride on both decks. Still very heavy on the inbound Gowanus. That stall after Fort Hamilton Parkway has been cleared out of the way, but you are still jammed there from the Verrazano Bridge. Jackie Robinson heading westbound. Watch out for a collision by Union Turnpike. Heavy delays there. Start from the BQE. Hudson River Crossings heading inbound 15 to 20 upstairs at the George lower level. A better ride 10 to 15. Inbound Lincoln and Holland 15 to 20 each. Alternate side in effect today. Showers likely this afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy. Temperatures reach the low 60s. And now you know how not to go. I'm Brandy Scott on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Only days left before we join you at 230 Park Avenue at 46th Street. That's Bobby Vanz for the next Dining Out Dialogues. Myself, Don Trump Jr., Kim Guilfoyle, AJ Catsimatidis, and many more. 212-867-5490 for reservations.
Now, we all know the power the IRS has, and yes, it's a bit scary, but did you know this? The IRS has been putting more and more warnings in their letters, warnings like, we may speak to your neighbor, employer, or others if needed. Are you kidding me? How about this one? IRS may communicate with other agencies about your case, such as the DOJ. And how about this one? If you owe over $50,000, the IRS may restrict or revoke your passport. Do not play around when it comes to the IRS, and don't try and deal with them on your own. You're going to get creamed. Call the expert help you need today and call my friends at Rush Tax Resolution now. Rush Tax is A-plus rated with the BBB and has an unheard-of zero complaint history. If you owe the IRS personally or you're a business behind on payroll taxes, it's the only company I recommend. 855-IRS-CALL, 855-477-2255, 855-477-2255, or RushTaxResolution.com. That's RushTaxResolution.com.
Hi, it's Joe on the radio. I'll be going away to Italy for a few days, you know that, but while I'm away, I don't want you to forget about my dear friends at Michael's of Brooklyn. I can't say enough about this family-owned business. Fred and his brother John are remarkable people that have continued to keep their family's legacy going for over 50 years. Not only is their Italian hospitality unrivaled, their delectable Michael's of Brooklyn sauce is out of this world. One taste will take you back to Sunday dinner at Nonna's house. So please, make me proud while I'm in Italy and stop in to experience an unforgettable meal at one of the five best Italian restaurants in the United States of America. Named by the Food Network. And they're located right there on Avenue Warren Nostrand in Brooklyn. You can also get their legendary Michael's of Brooklyn sauce online or at your nearby grocery store. Pick up a jar of their marinara sauce or fresh tomato and basil today. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the most authentic tastes of Italy for over 50 years.
Everybody knows this guy.
No, everybody knows he can do a radio show.
Joe Piscopo. Mornings, 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Live from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios.
Now, who would have known that that was a one-hit wonder?
Bill Conti, the Gonna Fly Now, the theme from Rock.
Spectacular. I mean, if that doesn't get you up in the morning, I don't know what does. This is Arthur Idala filling in for the great Joe Piscopo, who's on his way back from Italia, after having an incredible journey and an incredible trip there. And Al, for the one-hit wonders, you couldn't have picked a better song for our next guest, who in my eyes and in the eyes of many Americans, if not most Americans, is the champ. He's the champ of justice, truth, justice, and the American way. Does that sound okay, Professor Alan Dershowitz?
Yeah, and like Rocky, I get beat up quite a bit before I actually emerge victorious. I've taken a lot of body blows, a few shots to the head.
Alan, I must say, a few shots to the head. For those of you who are listening, who are just tuning in, I'm Arthur Idala, filling in for Joe, and this is Professor Alan Dershowitz, who, more than anything else, is a friend, and then he's a mentor, and then after that, sometimes we do some legal work together. And there's nobody better who we can speak to today about what's going on in Washington, D.C. So, Alan, I'm going to give you the floor, and you could just take it away.
Well, I think finally we're seeing the Democrats recognize their responsibility. If they're going to go ahead with an impeachment, which I don't believe is justified by the law, Congress is not above the law. They have to follow the law just like the president does. But finally, they're going to have at least a vote authorizing the investigation. The vote will be along partisan lines. Alexander Hamilton warned in Federalist 65 that impeachment should never be used for partisan purposes, that the criteria for impeachment should never be who has more votes in Congress, who has more votes in the Senate. That's the English system. That's the parliamentary system. And James Madison, the father of our Constitution, said we don't want to have a parliamentary system where a president can be removed at the whim of Congress, which is why the Constitution requires for there to be an impeachment of a president, treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors, specific criminal offenses, which don't exist in this case. But we're moving at least towards some responsibility by the Democrats, and they'll pay a price at the polls just the way the Republicans paid a price for misusing impeachment against Bill Clinton back in the 90s.
And did you feel that the Republicans abused the impeachment process against President Clinton?
Absolutely. He committed a crime, but he didn't commit a high crime. Again, Alexander Hamilton distinguished between high crimes and ordinary crimes. What Bill Clinton did is he was accused of lying about his personal sex life. Alexander Hamilton did the same thing when
Correct.
He was seduced by a woman and then had to pay extortion. But he refused to agree that he had used federal funds because that would have been a high crime. And he wrote an essay. So history is clearly on the side of President Trump. Look, you can believe he committed sins. That's a good reason, if you believe that, for not voting for him. That's why we have elections. You might even argue that some people, I don't see the evidence of him, have committed crimes like Bill Clinton. But they have to be high crimes and misdemeanors. That's what the Constitution specifies. And I hope the House will at least provide an opportunity for the president to present his defense rather than just go on partisan lines and vote for impeachment and then send it to the Senate, which on partisan lines would probably vote to acquit him. That's not the way impeachment was supposed to work. It was supposed to be an extreme measure, rarely used, and it was only used twice in our history, against the president who had committed discernible, definable crimes as the Constitution sets out. So I think this time the Democrats are abusing it. Last time the Republicans were abusing it. Back in the 1860s, both parties abused it when they improperly impeached Andrew Johnson, who was then acquitted by a very, very close vote. The only proper use of impeachment in our history was against Richard Nixon, who in fact committed specified crimes. He did pay hush money to witnesses. He did destroy evidence. And he did tell his subordinates to lie to the FBI. All three of those were crimes.
So, Alan, let me take advantage of your knowledge. What office did Alexander Hamilton hold when he lied about his sex life? I mean, he wasn't president of the United States, obviously.
No. He was Secretary of the Treasury. Okay. And as Secretary of the Treasury, he is subject to impeachment. The Constitution provides that all executive officials are subject to impeachment. Legislative officials are not. They can be removed only by Congress themselves. You know, we now have an example of a Democratic congresswoman being resigning. Perhaps she would have been removed
yesterday
for her own sexual conduct. I think I could say she was a victim of Me Three rather than Me Too, because in her case, it was argued that she was involved in a threesome, but she made her own decision
now,
to resign.
Alan, for people who are knowledgeable enough about the law, even a basic knowledge of the law, it's somewhat contradictory to talk about high crimes and misdemeanors, because at least in the New York definition, misdemeanors are low crimes. So.
Right. Right.
How do we differentiate, you know, high crimes? I mean, as you know, misdemeanor is jumping the turnstile in New York City. So it
could be. But at the time the Constitution was enacted, a misdemeanor could be a crime that involved abuse of office. Now, yes, abuse of office might be a basis if it's accompanied by a crime. But abuse of office itself is not a grounds for impeachment. In fact, the framers of the Constitution explicitly rejected a proposal by the delegate from South Carolina calling for impeachment based on maladministration, which is basically an abuse of office. The framers rejected that, saying that would give too much power to Congress. We want a strong president. This is not a democracy. It's a republic. And in a republic, you elect the president, and if you don't like him, you unelect him. In a parliamentary democracy, anytime the chief executive, the prime minister, loses the approval of Congress, he or she can be removed simply by a vote of non-confidence. We rejected that system. We don't want the British system. We don't want the Israeli system. We don't want the French system. We don't want the Italian system.
Okay, so then
we want the American system of a strong president removable only for crimes.
Okay, so now let's just say Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, he comes in and he testifies. Let's say he testifies to all of Congress, to all of Senate in open court, and he is credible and believable beyond a reasonable doubt. And he says, I was on the phone. I heard the conversation between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. And Congress had said $319 million goes from the United States American Treasury to Ukraine for aid. And our president said, I'm only giving you that, Mr. President of Ukraine, if you promise me you're going to investigate my adversary in the election, Joe Biden, and the company Burisma, who his son was involved in, and uncover some sort of controversy. If you don't do that, I'm not giving you the money.
Okay, right. And so, I wrote an article recently setting that out and saying that's the worst case scenario. And if that were the case, it would be a sin, a political sin, and a good reason for casting a vote against the sinner. But what's the crime? You're a criminal lawyer. I'm a criminal lawyer. The first thing we do when a client comes in and says, I'm under investigation, is we say, let's turn to the statute book and let's see if there is a crime. There is no crime to misuse the power of foreign policy for one's own political advantage. Let me give you an example. President Barack Obama did that on his last days in office. Everybody told him he should not engineer a UN resolution declaring the Western Wall, Judaism's holy site, to be grievously violative of international law, flagrant violation of international law. Hadassah Hospital, Hebrew University, the access roads there, the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem. And he was furious at Netanyahu. And to get even with him, to take personal revenge, he demanded that his representative to the UN not veto that bill, and he engineered it. That was a complete abuse of power. He did it for his own personal pique. Not a crime. It's not an impeachable offense. It was, for me, a good reason why I would not again vote for President Obama, because he broke his promise to me and he broke his promise to the American public. But there's a big difference between a political sin and a federal crime.
So Alan, I think that's you know, that's why I love you, and that's why you broke it down so well. By the way, when you know how close I was with Justice Scalia, he basically paid no mind to anyone who wanted to spar with him intellectually, who hadn't read the Federalist Papers multiple times. And you come out of the box this morning on Joe Piscopo's show quoting the essays by number. And speaking of writings and great writings, if you all you listeners go on Amazon.com, you could pre-order a great book that's so topical, that's so on point with what's going on in the American judicial system. It's written, let me say, is this your 39th book, Alan? Your 40th book?
No, 43rd.
Because I was at your party when you turned 75, 50 years teaching, and at that time I think it was 30 books or something like that. Wasn't that the theme on your baseball hat?
Yes, when I get mad, I write a book.
Okay.
And I'm mad now about how easy it is to accuse somebody falsely of sexual misconduct, as I have been and others have been. And so I wrote a book called Guilt by Accusation, The Challenge of Proving Innocence in the Age of Me Too. It supports the Me Too movement generally when it goes after real predators, but it argues that there are people who have abused this. Lawyers in this case, who have abused it by pressuring clients into making false accusations. You know,
Alan, I'm pressuring everyone who's listening to stop what you're doing, go on Amazon, look it up, Guilt by Accusation by Alan Dershowitz, pre-order it now. It'll be a great read for the Thanksgiving weekend. When's it coming out, Alan? November 19th or something?
The 19th of November. You can order it now on Google, on Amazon.
Alan, the most important thing is November 19th is my mother's birthday. So it'll be a great birthday present.
Your mother is fantastic. Hey, if anybody thinks that Arthur is a great radio talk show host and talker, someday, Arthur, if you get cold at the last minute, have your mother replace you when you're replacing Joe. She would be such a phenomenal talk show host. She is so incredible. She can keep up a conversation better than almost anybody I know.
I second the motion.
You're lucky to have her as a mother.
Alan, I'm lucky to have you on as a guest this morning on Piscopo's show. Thank you so much. I'll call you later on this afternoon. I appreciate your time. Guilt by Accusation by Alan Dershowitz on Amazon.com. Al Gattulo, you're up.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Solid ride heading over to the inbound Verrazano on the Staten Island Expressway. Eastbound crash takes out two lanes by Clove Road. That's got you packed from Victory Boulevard. Once you get past that, you stay heavy on both decks heading into Brooklyn. Inbound Gowanus, that keeps you on the brakes all the way through to the BQE. Eastbound LIE outer roadway, the service road, we've got a stalled tractor trailer blocking the right lane. Crash on the Van Wyck northbound by Hillside Ave. You are not moving much there from the Belt Parkway. Over in New Jersey, tractor trailer crash on Route 80 in the locals. Westbound just west of the 95 split, we've got at least two lanes out. All lanes are subject to closure. 95 northbound all backed up as a result from Bergen Turnpike. Turnpike southbound still shut down between interchanges 14 and 13A in the truck lanes. They're doing some cleanup from an earlier overturned dump truck. You have to stick with the car lanes in that area. Hudson River crossings inbound at the George 15 to 20 up. Lower will cost you 10 to 15. Inbound Lincoln and Holland 15 to 20 each. Alternate side in effect today. Now you know how not to go. I'm Brandi Scott on AM 970, The Answer.
I'm excited to tell you about the next edition of the Dining Out Dialogues with Kevin McCullough, as presented by Dining Out Magazine, AM 970 The Answer, and AM 570 The Mission. They're a series of live remote broadcasts from 3 to 6 p.m. on location with top chefs, celebrity co-hosts, and special guests. The next stop in the Dining Out Dialogues will be with Chef Niall Medford on November 1st at Bobby Van's Steakhouse in the landmark Helmsley Building next to Grand Central Station. Kevin will be on location at 230 Park Avenue with very special guest and co-host A.J. Katsimatidis. Happy hour is from 3 to 6 p.m. during the live broadcast. I hope you'll be there on Friday, November 1st for the Dining Out Dialogues at Bobby Van's Steakhouse.
After the broadcast, stay for dinner. Make your reservation by calling 212-867-5490. That's 212-867-5490. Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Honda.
I've got in my hand this great book by Mr. John Bramnick, Why People Don't Like You. This is such a fun book. And if you're looking to impart wisdom and common sense on your teenager or college student, you want to prepare them for the real world, but know a lecture from mom and dad will make their eyes glaze over, right? If any of these resonate with you, you get a copy of Why People Don't Like You. A book was written by my buddy, the funniest lawyer in New Jersey, John Bramnick. And you need this book for your kids, you know, because John used his experience as a trial attorney and comedian. And he's one of the funniest cats around. You've seen him. You hear him. We play his cuts when we do the Friday funnies, to compile 200 need-to-know rules and nuggets of wisdom. Not only are they great pieces of advice for young adults, they're hilarious, you know. And so, you know, a few perfect ones for kids, you know. Don't be late. Don't say, I look tired, you know. Don't say someone looks tired here. Here's another one, too. Don't never ask a woman if she is pregnant. Reach deep when tipping the shoe guy, valet people, or others. Thank you, John. I honestly believe that. Oh, this is a great one. When you board a plane, don't smack people with your backpack or briefcase. If I get one more person with the backpack and they turn around, they don't realize it's like having another person on their back bumping you around. You got to check out this book called Why People Don't Like You. You know, it's a must-have for the college know-it-all or angst-ridden teen. Order your copy of Why People Don't Like You by John Bramnick on Amazon.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island,
hear about it with Joe Piscopo.
Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Oh, can't you see? All right, this is not a one-hit wonder, obviously. The Dave Clark 5, certainly not a one-hit wonder. And our weather guy is not a one-hit wonder either. Joe Lundberg is back. Joe, how are you? How was the time off?
It was relaxing. It was nice to come back and feel refreshed for a change in the morning.
Very nice. Very nice. So, but the weather is not so good the next couple of days, huh?
No, clouds are going to dominate, I think, over the next 3 days. Now, precipitation, a little more than spotty drizzle today. We've seen a little bit of that overnight and early this morning. You know, maybe some sprinkles here and there. So over the next 36 hours, that's about the sum total of it. Temperatures low 60s today, maybe mid-60s tomorrow. Upper 60s on Thursday, but we'll start to get some rain. That rain's going to be heaviest Thursday night. Then it gets out of here Friday. Gusty winds, dry, some sunshine. We'll be in the 50s. And looks like some dry weather coming up for the weekend. By the way, today's allergy report brought to you by Balance of Nature is low, nice and low for the next couple of days.
Sounds good. All right, Joe, we'll check in with you in next hour. Al Gattulo, Arthur Idala here filling in for Joe Piscopo and Frank Marano and the rest of the gang who will be back tomorrow. They're on a
Can't
flight.
Can't wait.
Back from, what are they? They stopped over in France, and then they'll be heading back to America. So sometimes
Marano's drunk already. I mean, he's...
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Listen. First
he's got 7 hours to sleep it off on a flight back.
He's a good
right?
guy. When I spoke to him yesterday, we were on the bus heading to Tuscany to go drinking wine. I was very, very, very jealous because it was Monday. I was in the middle of the rat race here in Manhattan.
I'll be honest. I was kind of jealous of the whole trip. Like, I wish I had gone, but I knew I couldn't. But it sounds like they had a wonderful time, and I cannot wait to hear the stories tomorrow.
It was a great experience. I just want to bring, before we go to the 8 o'clock hour, a quick shout-out to my friend Ann Basso. She was in charge of the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. That is a big joke. Thank you, Ann Basso, for the beautiful jacket you gave Arthur, who turned 3 years old last Thursday on October 24th. Happy birthday to my nephew, Gerard, and to my great-grandma, who's 104 years old, who's not feeling too well. Feel better. We'll be back with the Joe Piscopo Show right after the news with Al Gattulo.
News.
opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
56 degrees at 7:59. I'm Al Catullo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Store owners are on high alert after a string of burglaries in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Cops say three suspects have struck nine businesses in the last 2 months and are specifically targeting ATMs. Police say in most of the cases, the trio broke through locks to gain entry into the businesses and in one instance carried an entire ATM machine out through the front door. It's estimated the burglars have run off with over $8,000. Travelers on United Airlines have a new resource to beat jet lag. United is partnering with the app TimeShifter to create a customized sleep plan based on where passengers are traveling. The app will show when it's time to be asleep or awake to prevent jet lag. In sports, Knicks beat the Bulls 105-98. Monday Night Football, Steelers crushed the Dolphins 27-14.